Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, April 29th. It's crunch time at the state capitol, where lawmakers still have more than 200 bills left to discuss before the session ends on Friday. KVNF's Scott Franz has more.
With so much left to do, lawmakers relaxed their dress code and came into work over the weekend. There are several big-ticket items they still need to debate, including a measure asking voters to increase taxes on cigarettes and vaping products. They're also trying to pass a bill to expand a sexual education curriculum, a state-backed reinsurance program, and a bill to dramatically lower greenhouse gas emissions. Lawmakers must finish their work by midnight on Friday. I'm Scott Franz at the state capitol.
As we just heard, Governor Jared Polis wants to increase taxes on cigarettes and other nicotine products to help pay for preschool classes and smoking prevention efforts.
The bill would ask voters to decide whether to raise the tax on a pack of cigarettes from 84 cents to $2.59. The measure would also tax nicotine vaping products. Polis says the measure will help fight a youth vaping crisis.
The biggest single impact on reduction of use from increasing the price will be from young people who are more price sensitive.
Polis estimates the new taxes will generate $300 million. But before the proposal can land on the ballot, lawmakers need to approve it. I'm Scott Franz at the state capitol.
With just 1 week left in the legislative session, Colorado Democrats are racing against the clock to get a paid family leave bill passed. But Governor Jared Polis said he has concerns.
Polis says the proposal needs to be actuarially sound and a, quote, win for the business community as well as families.
We've had concerns about the current language of the bill that we've expressed to the sponsors, and we're working with them on improving that so that we have paid family medical leave in Colorado, just as many other states do.
The bill was in limbo for several weeks because of concerns about the cost of the program and how it might impact small businesses. Supporters say workers should be able to take paid time off to bond with a newborn or care for a sick parent. The state Senate is expected to debate the bill this week. It would also need to pass the House. I'm Scott Franz at the state capitol.
And in a follow-up to that story, state lawmakers dropped an effort to approve a paid family leave program this year. Instead, the Democratic sponsors want to create a task force to study the issue and make recommendations next session. The change came 2 days after Governor Jared Polis expressed financial concerns about the bill. He said that it needs to be sustainable and a win for the business community. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has not scheduled public hearings on its decision to take gray wolves off the endangered species list. But that isn't stopping wildlife advocates in Colorado. Eric Galatis has the story.
After repeated calls for U.S. Fish and Wildlife to hold public hearings on the Trump administration's decision to remove the gray wolf from the endangered species list in all lower 48 states, wildlife advocates are taking the matter into their own hands by hosting community forums in Sacramento, Portland, and tonight in Denver. Deanne Noel with the group Defenders of Wildlife says while wolf recovery efforts have been hailed as one of the Endangered Species Act's biggest success stories, delisting would put those gains at risk.
This is a move that Defenders of Wildlife finds premature, and one that we feel could really expose gray wolves to unrestricted hunting and killing, which could really send them closer to extinction.
Due to habitat loss, hunting, and other human activity, wolf populations in North America have dropped from nearly 2 million to just under 5,000 today. Since ESA protections for wolves were lifted in Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming in 2011, Noel says more than 3,000 have been killed by trophy hunters and trappers. Proponents of delisting argue that current wolf numbers are healthy in areas targeted for recovery, so they favor removing ESA protections. According to the Center for Biological Diversity, wolves need to connect with other populations to ensure genetic sustainability, but today, wolves occupy less than 10% of their historic range and continue to face threats. Noel adds, bringing the animal back to Colorado to play out its natural role as keystone apex predators would benefit entire landscapes.
They play an invaluable role in maintaining the health and balance of ecosystems and keep species like elk in check. Wolves also prevent environmental hazards like overgrazing and erosion and improve water quality.
Governor Jared Polis, congressional reps Diana DeGette of Denver and Joe Neguse of Boulder Fort Collins had asked the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service for hearings, but those requests have so far been denied. Tonight's forum begins at 6:30 in downtown Denver at the Alliance Center near Union Station. Public comments can also be submitted online at federalregister.gov through May 14th. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
Colorado voters support wildlife migration route protections, even after considering opposition arguments from farmers, ranchers, and oil and gas producers. Eric Galatis has more.
A new National Wildlife Federation poll shows that the public overwhelmingly supports protecting wildlife migration routes. Tracy Stone Manning with the Federation says animals need to move from summer to winter ranges, and they tend to use the same routes over and over, taught through generations. She says the poll's results show Coloradans, regardless of party affiliation or age group, understand that it's on us to protect these corridors.
There's massive support in Colorado. 86% of Coloradans, cutting across all demographics, say they support protection of wildlife corridors.
The poll also addressed frequent critics of protections. When presented with arguments from farmers and ranchers that they shouldn't have to shoulder extra responsibility on top of protecting crops and livestock, respondents said wildlife migration still should be a priority. Oil and gas industry arguments that regulations impose undue burdens that could result in job loss produced a similar response. Stone Manning says it's possible to protect wildlife and manage lands in ways that also allow for development, including building overpasses and underpasses for roads and removing the bottom row in fences so animals, but not livestock, can pass through. She adds that the poll confirms that Westerners are committed to making sure people and wildlife can continue to live side by side for generations to come.
Just really heartening to see, and not surprising to see, that that's the sentiment. It's why we live in the West. We get to share this landscape with remarkable wildlife.
Forest management agencies soon will have an opportunity to act on public sentiment. The Carson, Rio Grande, and Santa Fe National Forests in the Upper Rio Grande watershed in Colorado and New Mexico are each undergoing management plans. Stone Manning says the plans can opt to create special management areas to protect known wildlife corridors. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, April 29th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.